Krishna. So after hearing shloka number 24 and 25, the various symptoms of a self-realized soul, we might feel that, I don't think that I can ever do this. But Krishna is reassuring, don't worry, everyone can do this. And he's speaking this particular shloka which we're going to discuss now. Shloka number 26. Kama krodha vimuktanam yatinam yatachetasam abhito brahma nirvanam vartate viditatmanam. So here it is said, kama krodha vimuktanam. Vimuktanam, the one who is free from. Free from what? Kama, desires, and krodha, anger. Then, it is talked about the person who is viditatmanam, the one who is self-realized. And then it is talked about yatachetasam, that is the one who is self-disciplined or the ones whose mind is under control. Yatinam, the one who is constantly endeavoring for perfection. Abhito brahma nirvanam vartate. Such a person is what? Assured of liberation in the Supreme. When? Very near future. Abhito, abhitaha, in very near future. So by doing all this, if the person is endeavoring very, very sincerely, doesn't matter he has some lofty symptoms or not, but if he's sincere and serious in his endeavor, here Krishna is saying that don't worry, it's assured that such a person will attain Supreme, the ultimate destination. Here it is said that of the saintly persons who are constantly engaged in striving towards salvation, one who is in Krishna consciousness is the best of all. So there are different types of transcendentalists. We have karma yogis, jnana yogis, ashtanga yogis, bhakti yogis and so on. So out of all of them, who is the best? The bhakti yogi is the best. And who is saying this? Krishna himself is saying this. Yogi naam api sarvesham tad gatena antaratmanah shraddhavan bhajate yo maam samayukta tamamatah. In 6th chapter, he'll be telling this. Very soon we're going to see that. So there he's saying that out of all of them whom I've described till now, bhakta or bhakti yogi is the best. And bhakti yogi is the best. The process of bhakti is the best because this is the most easiest one in this age of Kali Yuga. Others are very, very difficult. We don't have time, we don't have energy, we don't have patience to do all that. So it's very important to understand when we are practicing bhakti, we have to be rest assured that this is the best process and this will take us to the ultimate destination, the ultimate goal. In the conditioned soul, the desire to enjoy the fruitive results of work is so deep-rooted that it is very difficult even for the great sages to control such desires despite great endeavors. So we have a great deep-rooted problem in all of us. What is that? Desire for fruitive results. Whenever we do any activity, we have this mentality that what is there in it for me? What will I get by doing this? We first decide the result and then we start working, isn't it? Why? Because we are more result-oriented and we are more interested in enjoying the result. The tendency of enjoyment, that is something which is deep-rooted in all of us. And this is not only from this life, from so many lifetimes we have been doing this. We cannot count also how many lifetimes. In all the lifetimes we have been doing this, that is enjoyment. Striving, to get the result and enjoying the result. So what has happened now? We have become expert in doing this. So this problem has become very much deep-rooted. What to talk about common public like us? There are great saintly persons who are not able to overcome this particular problem. So it's very, very deep-rooted. And that is actually the cause which is holding us here in this material world very, very tightly. The desire for fruitive results. So it is said that a devotee of Lord constantly engaged in devotional service in Krishna consciousness, perfect in self-realization, very quickly attains liberation in the Supreme. Now after having such deep-rooted problems, how is it possible to attain Supreme? Only one solution, practicing Bhakti Yoga. So when we practice Bhakti Yoga, what happens? Here we are engaged in service of Krishna and Krishna is the one who will do everything. He will actually pull us out from this deep-rooted problem. If he doesn't pull out, then it's very, very difficult. So Krishna will do that. He will pull us out from the deep-rooted problem and he'll place us in the supreme destination. So it's very important to understand that time is less and we cannot endeavor more. So what are we supposed to do? Choose the best and the most easiest and the shortest path. And that is Bhakti Yoga. So just by practicing Bhakti in our day-to-day life, in which chanting is the most primary one, if we can do that, yes, it's rest assured that the person can attain the Supreme in this very lifetime. Owing to his complete knowledge and self-realization, he always remains in trance. The Bhakti Yogi is always busy thinking about Krishna and he's always in trance. Even while doing activities, day-to-day activities, say he's cooking or he's making some garlands or cleaning the place or whatever. The thought that is there in the mind is, okay, I'm doing it for Krishna, I'm cooking for Krishna, I'm cleaning the temple for Krishna, I'm making garlands for Krishna, I'm getting this particular grocery for Krishna. So when all the time he's thinking about Krishna, such a person is in samadhi, in trance. But this person is moving around. We might say that, no, he's not sitting at one place. Sitting at one place, person can go into trance. But here, the speciality of Bhakti Yogi is, even when he's walking around, he's completely immersed in thinking of Krishna and Krishna's service, so he can be considered in trance or in samadhi. Now, there might be a question. There might be a question saying that Lord's abode is very, very far. How can we reach there in this material body? How is it possible? Lord is very far and how can we get connected to Him? So here a very nice analogy is given. So analogy consists of three different animals, we can say. The fish, the tortoise and also the bird. So here it is said, the fish brings up its offspring simply by looking at them. So what the fish does is, it will lay the eggs in the water and will keep just looking at it. And just by its vision, its intense vision, what happens? The eggs will hatch and small baby fishes will come out of that. The next analogy is of that of a bird. So when it comes to a bird, so what does a bird do? So bird, it will keep the eggs in touch. It will give the warmth. And then by that touch, the eggs will hatch. I'm sure this is a common phenomenon. All of us might have noticed this. But there is something very special about tortoise. What tortoise does is, it will lay the eggs on the shore, it will go inside the water, and it will meditate on those eggs. Meditate. And when it meditates on the eggs, what happens is, by its meditation, intense meditation, those eggs will hatch. Can we see this? How amazing this is. Just by meditation, the tortoise is making sure that the eggs are hatching. So here it is given that similarly, the devotee in Krishna consciousness, although far away from the Lord's abode, can elevate himself to that abode simply by thinking of Him constantly, by engagement in Krishna consciousness. So if we want to reach Krishna, if we want to go back home, back to Godhead, if we want to purify ourselves, what are we supposed to do? Like tortoise meditates on the egg to get its result, we also meditate on Lord Sri Krishna to attain the ultimate destination. So we have to be very, very much conscious, in our endeavors. We have to ask this question. Am I able to think of Krishna in this particular activity? Am I able to meditate on Krishna? Am I doing it for Krishna? This activity is done for Krishna or not? So in this way, when we have our consciousness fixed on Krishna, if we meditate on Lord Sri Krishna, what happens? Will be able to attain that ultimate destination. One of the best meditation technique is what? Chanting of the holy names of the Lord, the mantra meditation. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So when we are chanting this Maha Mantra, what are we doing? We are trying to meditate on each and every word of the Maha Mantra. The word Hare, Ram, Krishna. And when we are meditating on these words, all of these words are transcendental. All of these are wonderful transcendental names of Lord Sri Krishna. And it is said, Naam and Nami are non-different. Abhinnatva Nama Namini. There's no difference between the name and the person. How come? That's how Krishna is absolute. Name, form, qualities, pastimes of Krishna are non-different. So name and Krishna, they are the same. So when we're chanting the holy names of the Lord, when we're meditating on these wonderful words, these wonderful names of Krishna, what happens? We are actually directly meditating on Krishna. And when we are meditating on Krishna, every single day, what will happen? We will attain that ultimate destination. Like the tortoise attains the ultimate result, or the result, just by meditating on its eggs. And finally it is said, he does not feel the pangs of material miseries. This state of life is called Brahma Nirvana, or the absence of material miseries, due to being constantly immersed in the Supreme. This line is very important. Being constantly immersed in Supreme. So now when a person is constantly immersed in the thoughts of the Supreme, he will not be touched by the miseries of this world. Many times people say that, what is the solution to the suffering that I'm going through? Solution is this: getting immersed in the thoughts of the Supreme Personality of God, Lord Shri Krishna. We can think of the beautiful form of the Lord, take darshan of the beautiful form of the Lord. We can keep hearing constantly the holy names of the Lord. We can read the pastimes, the leelas of the Lord, and meditate on the same. We can go to those pastime places like the holy abode of Vrindavan, Mayapur, Jagannath Puri, and so on, and go take darshan of those places. And those places will remind us of Krishna, who did so many pastimes there. So in this way, one thing that is very important in our day-to-day life is, are we immersed? Is our thought process immersed in thinking of Krishna or not? If someone is immersed, then such a person will not be touched by all the miseries of this world. Miseries will be there. Miseries will be there, no doubt. Like rain falls, so rains are always there. But then if I don't want to get wet, what will I do? I'll carry an umbrella with me. So immersing oneself in Krishna consciousness is like carrying an umbrella. Miseries will be there. There will be onslaught of miseries, continuous onslaught of miseries. But then we have a protection. We have that umbrella. And just by holding that umbrella, we will not be affected at all. And such a person can remain stable. Such a person can remain happy throughout his life. And finally at the end of life, since his meditation is strong on Krishna, he leaves the body remembering Krishna and goes back to Godhead. This is the amazing aspect of practicing Krishna consciousness. So that's how it is very nicely given here, that such a person, Krishna is assuring, is assured of liberation in the Supreme in the very near future. So what are we supposed to do? Just make sure we keep practicing every single day. That's it. We need not think about, oh, I don't have this quality, that quality, etc. That's okay. What is important is, am I practicing or not? So after speaking so much about Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, etc., now Krishna is going to speak about Ashtanga Yoga in two verses. So he's going to give some trailer before we start the actual movie, that is the sixth chapter. So let's see that in the next video. Hare Krishna.